Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio on July 26, 2026. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Well, our first hour, if you missed it, was super fun.
Yeah, go back and listen
to it. You should go back and listen. It was very informative. Greg Wrightstone from the CO2 Coalition. What a good time. We will have him on again. 1 hour was not enough. And we're going to run out of time with our guests this hour, too. I'm just going to spoiler alert that for you. We have Ron Stein back again. We had him on with Mike Ariza. He is part of our gas crisis team. And if you have not plugged in on that and you think the whole gas thing is all solved, everything's happy and it's all fine, it's not as happy if you live in California. Might be looking better in other parts of the country, but here we are still dancing the blade of the knife. We have a dedicated page set up for that that'll take you directly to it at gascrisis.org.
Hey, I just want to check really quick.
What?
Do you still want the Newsom clip?
Trump? Oh, clip? I forgot about it already. I didn't even sleep after you told me. Usually the excuse is I've slept since then. But apparently the president was on fire at the correspondents' dinner, and Alex has a clip for us, and I missed the speech, so we thought we should play it because we need
I was
more
disappointed
fun.
That Gavin Newsom didn't show up. He didn't show up. He should be here. But I heard that he recently said that we will lose our country if we don't fight fire with fire. And to be fair, there's only one thing we know about Gavin, and that's that he definitely doesn't want to fight fire with water. He's got a lot of water he never uses. What a disaster. That should have never happened. But Gavin Newsom recently did a career-threatening, one of the worst interviews I've ever seen, where he said that he can't read a speech. He's incapable of reading a speech. He's a low IQ person. He's smarter, however, than all of the people in the room. And then he gets sued for being a racist, okay, when he said that. But he basically said he has various mental incapacities. He has difficulty in various other ailments mentally. And I'm looking at him saying, this is the worst interview. I'm watching this interview. I said, this is the worst interview I've ever seen given by a professional politician. I've been watching politicians for a long time, mostly on the previous side. Because I haven't been doing this too long. How am I doing? Not bad for the number of minutes spent. Not bad. But with Gavin, so he said that all these things, and I said, anybody running against him, all they have to do is take that one interview and you can't lose. I actually put out a statement that Gavin Newsom has come out and said he will not be running for president because nobody can say what he said about himself and survive. Newsom was in big trouble when he openly admitted that Kamala was smarter than him. Kamala
Ouch.
Is smarter. If Kamala is smarter than someone, you don't want that person to be president of the United States of America.
Or anything else.
Between California's policies of enabling wildfires, paying drug addicts to be homeless, giving free sex changes to illegals, and telling rich people they're going to take away, all of your money is going to be taken away. People are fleeing, and they're fleeing in droves. We can't have that in this country.
That's it.
Oh, my God.
Now, when he said that Newsom was smarter than anyone else in the room, priceless.
Oh, dear. And you know, he didn't even get into the whole gas thing. You know, he's taken a state that was energy independent and put it on its knees.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, I forgot about that little clip he had for us there. Now we move forward with our guest, Ron Stein, who is an energy literacy consultant. Dear God, don't we need more of those? And don't we need them all working in Sacramento? Actually, that would be fantastic.
Oh, we need somebody to listen to them.
An energy consultant on energy literacy, an ambassador for energy and infrastructure, the co-author of the Pulitzer Prize-nominated book, Clean Energy Exploitations. I just like the title on that one and the whole topic. Policy advisor on energy literacy for the Heartland Institute and the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. He's also a national TV commentator. and energy and infrastructure with Rick Amato. So he has just done a million things. You can find a lot of his work at AmericaOutloud.news. Terrific site, like just loads of information. So he's an engineer and just an all-around smart guy and just really looks a lot at the things that we all care about. I have his stuff linked up at the page here at WeThePeopleRadio.us on July 26, 2026, and also under our gascrisis.org tab, so you can find him. Don't tell me you can't find him. Mr. Stein, where would you like to begin today? It's all you.
Well, I guess it's all me. Yeah, the one thing that Newsom doesn't understand is that the economy, world economy, the California economy, is run on transportation fuel.
The one thing?
We need fuel for jets. We need fuel for the ships that are bringing products around the world. We need fuel for the trucks and for all the construction equipment. And wind and solar, which he has a motivation to move on, only generates electricity. Wind turbines and solar panels make nothing for society. And we are basically, you know, trying to drive out all the refineries. The one thing Newsom doesn't understand is crude oil by itself. Crude oil by itself is useless. It's black tar. Mm-hmm. Nobody uses crude oil. But if you build a multi-billion dollar refinery and they heat it and they beat it, they crack it, they do all these crazy things to it, then you get transportation fuels for the jets, the planes, the ships, the trucks, the cars, et cetera, et cetera. And you get the oil derivatives that makes more than 6,000 products on our daily lives that didn't exist 200 years ago. So if you want to really get rid of oil, we're going back to the 1800s.
Oh, yeah. Well, I read an article the other day about this whole crisis, and they kind of zeroed in on the diesel fuel that if we don't do something about the cost of diesel fuel continually going up, it is going to be reflected in everything we buy. And people, I don't think, connect the dots on that. They see diesel prices going up, and it's like, oh, well, I'm glad I don't drive a diesel car. Well, it doesn't stop there. I mean, go to the grocery store. I mean, anywhere you go, it got there in a truck. And so the diesel fuel situation, they got to get that under control, and they got to get it under control fast because it's going to cost people a lot of money.
Alex, you're 100% correct. The one thing that people don't understand is California, we are demanding 58 million gallons of transportation fuel every day.
Every day.
Within California. 58 million gallons. Now, that includes 11 million gallons of jet fuel for all the military airports and the commercial airports, international airports, 10 million gallons of diesel, you know, for all the stage trucking and the construction equipment, and 37 million gallons of gasoline for the state's, 36 million vehicles. And with the two refineries that have recently shut down, California is in a dire strait because all that fuel, all the 58 million gallons of fuel is made in California. And if it's not made in California, it's going to be made somewhere else. The reason being because California is an energy island. Mm-hmm. We're separated from the rest of the country. There's no pipelines from the rest of the country to California. We supply most of the fuel to Nevada by pipeline, most of the fuel to Arizona by pipeline, but there's nothing coming to California.
And that was by design. Yeah. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Right. Well, you want to get a permit, put some pipelines over the Majestic Mountains, the Sierra Mountains?
Yeah.
Yeah, try that. And yeah, so all that fuel is made here, and if it's not made here, it's being made somewhere else. And that somewhere else is offshore refineries. And offshore refineries, you know, California's got the cleanest refineries in the world. Offshore refineries are heavy polluters, so you're going to make it in Asia, put it on a ship, and transport it 30 to 45 days over the Pacific Ocean to bring it to California, and those ships are polluting. But Newsom doesn't breathe that air. He only breathes air within California. so all that pollution is occurring, and we're bringing all that fuel into the ports. Now, the other challenge is we got three of the busiest ports in the country, in Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Oakland. And those ports are not designed to bring in transportation fuels. They don't have the storage tanks. They don't have the unloading capability. And if they have to get storage tanks and permitting, that'll take probably 10 years to get the permit, another 10 years to build it. So we're in dire straits, and we're starting to import now, and it's a real challenge. And we got 7 refineries left, and they're big ones. And if one goes down, we're going to be in deep, deep, deep trouble.
Yeah, we're just on the knife's edge right now as far as being able to supply people with fuel. I don't know what it's going to take, probably pulling up to a pump and having no gas. You know, I've seen that happen before.
But the hard part is people dealt with this in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the oil came back online, poof, there was, you know, gas station, everything was fine. I mean, it rectified itself. It was a huge pain during the time period. It was a problem, but it rectified itself pretty quickly. If we wind up taking these last refineries offline, we were talking to him a couple weeks ago, and we asked Mike. We said, so if everything was perfect, you know, if you had all the guys you needed to run it, you had no structural problems, if it was 100% focused on just bring it back online, everything's good, how long does that take? And he said 8 months. Well,
8 months and probably about $1 billion investment.
Well, we didn't even get into that, but it's like just from a time standpoint to fix, like to get Valero, say, for instance, back online, because that's one of the big things we keep seeing now is we've got to get Valero back online. What do you think about that?
That's the way to go because, you know, we don't need refineries. We need the products they make.
Yes.
You know, the analogy is kind of like a restaurant. If a restaurant serves bad food, you stop buying, going to the restaurant, the restaurant goes out of business. If you really want to put the refineries out of business, stop using the products.
Yeah.
But Newsom's not going to say, we're going to close the airports, we're going to close the hospitals, we're going to close the shopping centers, we'll stop using those products, we'll put those refineries out of business.
That's
one way to do it.
Well, he didn't have any problem telling people a couple of years ago that owned electric cars to please don't charge them under certain conditions. Only charge them at night in between these hours. And just admitting that, how does he see California being all electric when we can't even. Support the electric vehicles we have on the road now.
When you talk about going all electric, if we had wind turbines and solar panels, go into a shopping center, go into a hospital, go into a restaurant, you know, go anywhere, try to identify one thing, just one, that was made by a wind turbine.
Yeah.
They don't make anything. They just generate electricity. You know, yeah. And if you really get down to it, electricity came after oil. Let me explain. We got 6 ways to generate electricity. You can do it by wind turbines, solar panels, coal, natural gas, hydro, nuclear. All 6 ways to generate electricity are very similar. They all have wire, insulation, computers, et cetera, which are all made from the oil derivatives from oil. So if you get rid of oil, you get rid of electricity. We're back to the 1800s.
Yep. Yep. You know, we had a situation last week. My mother stays in a assisted living facility. It's a very nice place. It's 3 stories, and we were sitting there having dinner with her, and power went out. And it's like, oh well, then it was off. It seemed like for, you know, not very long, you know, 20 seconds or so, and it popped back on. It's no big deal. Well, what I didn't know was that it came back on. It was their auxiliary power, which there was a problem with the grid. They lost their power. Their auxiliary system kicked in. Okay, now we're running on diesel, and they don't produce enough electricity for that facility to run everything at 100%. So you're on standby power. Well, this is a 3-story facility. It's got several elevators. And I think there was only 2 elevators that ran on auxiliary power. And when you're dealing with elderly people, you're not going to tell them to take the stairs. They can't. So now they're stuck on the ground floor, can't get back to their room.
And the other ones are stuck upstairs.
And yeah, the other ones are stuck upstairs.
And we live in a place where it's over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
In a three-story facility with no power.
Yeah, major problem.
You could just see the cascading effect.
Yep. If the grid went down, it's amazing the things you don't think of right now. But when the power goes out, you're screwed. There's a lot of things that you're just not going to be able to do until the power comes back on. We're totally dependent on it.
I'm going to give Ron 2 minutes to think about it while we take a break, but I want your best guess about how many people do you think, just ballpark, the percentage of people, how about, who realize that you need oil to have electricity?
Mm-hmm.
Because I truly believe there's a bit of a disconnect, but that could be because I'm basically optimistic, but I'm deeply suspicious. So I think with that combination, that makes me kind of negative on that one. So when we come back, we're gonna get the Ronstein primer on that one.
Also, you might want to look at these standby or these charging stations for cars. How many of you have you seen that didn't have a little standby generator in the background in case
now you're complicating
they
my question.
It. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We're going to take a really
it's a flawed system.
It's live radio. We're going to come back. We have to take a little quick break here. We have a fun song for you for Gavin Newsom, just to wrap up that correspondence dinner that I really do have to go see the video of that. Alex has promoted that, and I've been remiss. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. They should just stop inventing new music. The old music was so great. I feel sorry for people writing music now. All the good music's out there. So, Mr. Stein, what do you think?
Yes.
What percentage of people out there do you think really understand how electricity is generated?
Well, let me say this. The analogy you're talking about, assisted living. Can you imagine a surgeon having to check the weather report before he schedules surgery?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. See if the wind's going to be blowing and the sun's going to be shining.
Yeah,
and you may not be able to do it at night. So, yeah.
If you get injured at night, you're doomed. Goodbye.
Lights are out. Well, the situation with wind and solar, it's a redundant way of generating electricity. And it's obviously totally dependent on the weather, the sun shining, the wind blowing. And so if the sun is not shining and the wind's not blowing, yes, you need a backup system. And, because the economy runs on continuous, uninterruptible electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, natural gas is, coal is, hydro, nuclear. And it's the interesting thing, especially here in California, basically all of America, is watching the world movement for nuclear power generation. Currently there's 80 nuclear power plants under construction around the world, not in the United States, in other countries. 37 in China, 8 in India, Russia's got 5, Egypt's got 4, Korea's got 4, and we're doing nothing. And if you want continuous uninterruptible electricity and emissions-free electricity, nuclear is the way to go. Public doesn't understand. The Americans have a 70-year safety track record of using nuclear. All the submarines, nuclear-powered. All the aircraft carriers, nuclear-powered, for 70 consecutive years. And yet, Elba Canyon, the last nuclear power plant, is on life support. It's being closed because we're going to use wind and solar to replace it.
Yeah.
What would happen if we actually did that? What's your prognosis if we actually took it offline?
Well, you're talking about artificial intelligence, data centers providing, you know, a lot of electrical demands. It's going to be really bad news. Yeah, the fourth largest economy. You know, we're the fourth largest economy in the world. And if we go down, the rest of the country goes with us. And we're right on the bubble. Not only in transportation fuels, but electricity, because we've shut down so much of our electricity generation, coal-fired power plants, San Onofre, that California imports more electricity than any other state in the country. We rely on other states to generate the electricity, and we import it. So why do you think that with
the demand for electricity going up, and going up very quickly, especially with these data centers. I mean, our demand for electricity is going to go off the scale. Why aren't they recognizing that and doing something to create a source of electricity that is not dependent on, you know, the wind and the sun and all that? Why do you think they're not addressing that?
Well, two answers. One is they're oblivious to reality. I go back to what President Trump was talking about. When Newsom speaks, he has an audience that has less intelligence than he does.
Yeah.
So that kind of speaks for itself. Yeah, they're just oblivious to reality.
Yeah.
There's no backup system. You know, if you want to go with wind and solar, do you really want to replace natural gas and coal and nuclear with wind and solar?
Mm-mm.
It can't be done. They do different things.
No. Wind and solar is great if you want to have an alternative source and add to the grid, the existing grid. But you can't get rid of the traditional ways of generating electricity. Heck, they're even trying to take out the dams, which is totally natural. They won't take those out. It just makes no sense to me.
You're right. You know, I often joke with people, you can't bring a logical question into this conversation.
Yeah, stop that right now.
The labyrinth of logic. There's nothing in there but sadness and despair.
Exactly. So it's going to be a challenge. And like I say, California, we're, you know, power-wise, we're going the wrong direction. We're trying to eliminate the generation of electricity, continuous electricity. And with fossil fuels, we're trying to eliminate transportation fuels, which runs the economy. If you want wind and solar, they require a lot of transportation, trucks and cranes and, you know, et cetera, just to build it.
Mm-hmm.
And the wind turbines themselves are made without fossil fuel products. Solar panels are fossil fuel products. There is no substitute. We have, we're a materialistic society that we weren't 200 years ago. And, you know, 200 years ago, yeah, we had no oil, we had no electricity. And, I don't know about you, but I like the lifestyle we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I just don't think people realize what will go away. What are you hearing about the refinery thing in California? Any? Are people aware of that, do you think? Or what are you hearing in your circles?
No, they're not aware of it. There's seven refineries left. There's two with Chevron, two with Marathon, and two with PBF. And then Valero has the seventh refinery. Now, Chevron, Marathon, and PBF, each of the presidents of those companies, they sent three separate letters, never been done before in the history of the world, three separate letters to Governor Newsom, basically saying, you keep up a silver regulation, we're out of here.
Mm-hmm. We have those posted online for people to read if they're if they're at all curious about that.
Because they're manufacturers, and, you know, they can go to a more business-friendly location to manufacture their products, because it's people demanding the products. Again, if you don't want a refinery, stop using the products, but no one wants to do that. So we come up with more ways to use the products. We're using the oil derivatives to make wind turbines, to make solar panels. EV, 100% made with oil. The tires, the wires, the insulation. You know, what is not made from oil? The only thing it eliminates is one product. You know, we get about 6,000 products from raw crude oil, and they want to eliminate gasoline. Well, what about the other 5,999 products we get from oil?
Right.
Yeah, so again, back to the logical question. My whole purpose of the articles I write and the books I've written is to stimulate conversations. I would love to have all this stuff talked about in the upcoming debates when these guys running for governor, but the press is reluctant to ask these quote-unquote logical questions and get some answers.
Yeah, there's a huge story there, and they don't want to report on it, which just kind of flabbergasts me a little bit. Because, I mean, this is a really, really big story. The fuel shortages, the refineries shutting down, and nobody's talking about it, which...
You know, there's an analogy. Reducing transportation fuels really affects the economy. Now, Ukraine is doing it by sending drones into Russian refineries. And Russian refineries are having a problem manufacturing transportation fuels. So in Russia, there's transportation fuel shortage. Here in California, Newsom's not using drones. He's using over-regulations to drive out the refineries.
Mm-hmm.
So they're accomplishing the same thing in different ways.
Do you have any sense of why? I mean, that's always the $64,000 question is, what are they getting out of that?
I think a lot of the misunderstanding is the word energy. They keep referring to the wind and solar energy. And wind and solar energy versus fossil fuel energy. Mm. Well, wind and solar only generates electricity. If you talk wind and solar, it's wind and solar electricity. It's not wind and solar energy. But wind and solar does something totally different than fossil fuels. Oil by itself is never used to generate electricity. You know, natural gas is, coal is, but oil, crude oil is used. So it's black tar. If you remember the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, that black stuff bubbling up on the ground.
Black gold, Texas tea.
Texas tea.
Exactly. Yeah. No one uses oil, but you got to build a multi-billion dollar refinery, and they heat it, they beat it, they crack it, they do all these crazy things to it. Then you can get transportation fuels for planes and ships and trucks and construction equipment and all the derivatives that makes everything in our daily lives. You know, electricity can charge my iPhone, but electricity cannot make my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that needs electricity, the iPhone, the computer, the defibrillator, the MRI machine, you name it, everything that needs electricity is made from oil products.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get rid of the oil, we get rid of all the products.
Well, we'll make just enough for the other products. We just won't make enough for fuel. Yeah, that's how that'll work.
Is that how you have it gamed out there, Bill?
Yeah, that's how it's going to work.
Huh,
yeah.
What a relief.
It won't be a problem.
At least somebody's planning.
Yeah.
But Alex, you're right. When you're talking about, you know, supply and demand, if there's a less supply, then the price is going to go up for the demand that's there. And if it goes up, if diesel fuel goes up, aviation fuel goes up, airplane flights are going to cost more. The cost of bananas are going to cost more. And then people are going to complain, say, oh, we got to raise the minimum wage. Well, it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing that, like I say, confuses me is I think a lot of this stems from their dream of having everything in California electric, you know, lead the way. So have all electric cars, have all electric everything. We don't need fossil fuels. Well, that's great. But what are they doing on the other side to generate or create more electricity to supply all this extra demand they're going to have? They're not doing anything right now. They say, oh, we're going to have, you know, 10,000 new charging systems. But they're not there. They're not doing it.
The policies are basically demanding. Yeah. They're coming up with more ideas to use electricity, but no ways to generate.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and I don't know if they're trying to create a disaster and then fix it at the last minute, but you can't. You can't take all this stuff offline and then say, oh, okay, now we're going to build infrastructure for all this new electrical demand. It's too late. You just crippled the economy, and that's going to take years and years to develop and get online, and they're doing nothing right now to create that or to fill that void, which to me sounds a little strange.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
But the other really, super crazy part is you will take this state out of the mix, but the other 49 will be operational. This isn't something that takes the whole – well, I guess you could pretty easily make a case it does take the whole country down eventually. But it screws our national security and everything else.
We have three of the busiest ports in L.A., Long Beach, and Oakland, and all the products are coming in from foreign countries are – trucked and trained to the rest of the nation, and if the ships don't have the fuel to get refueled, they're going to stop coming into the port.
Exactly.
They don't have the diesel. The trucks aren't going to move the products. And when you talk about a national security risk, we got 40 military airports. And with that 11 million gallons of jet fuel being consumed every day, a lot of it's by the military. And it's scary to think that China refineries will be controlling our military airports. Yeah. They'll be making our jet fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's provided we can even get the fuel from China.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, and when you look at our airports, I mean, if these planes that are flying in and out of California every day, hundreds of times a day, if they can't land in California and get refueled and fly out, they're not coming. So we're going to turn into an island with no services. But we'll be electric and we'll be breathing lots of clean air. That's
good.
Yeah, just crazy.
I think the solution would really be in the upcoming debates for governor.
Mm-hmm.
All the things we've been talking about should be the questions posed to the candidates to get their solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I say, the way we're going, it's a disaster for California and a real disaster for the American economy.
Well, wait until we have to foot the bill for all the research it's going to take to figure out how much electricity we're going to need. Kind of like our bullet train, you know, we've had that online now studying it now for, 20 years.
And the only bullet with that train is the one that aimed it for our wallets.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I gas up, I think I'm funding the bullet train.
Yeah, what a relief.
For like 20 years, you know?
Yeah, gotta love that high-cost rail.
If California wants to go electric, you can't even go electric if you wind up getting rid of oil, because everything that needs electricity is made from oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, we're just not ready for artificial
intelligence, all the components within the building, the air conditioning for the building, the computers they have, it's all made from oil.
Yeah.
And we have no substitute for oil.
Nope.
We've had 200 years to clone it and been unable to do it.
Yeah.
And the confusion is they say, well, wind and solar energy is going to replace fossil fuels. It can't, because they do totally different things.
Yeah.
Wind and solar only generate electricity. Oil makes transportation fuels and derivatives that makes all the products.
Right.
Like I said, two different animals.
Ron, what What do you know about the fusion technology they're working on?
Hold on for 5 seconds, so we better take a quick break.
Oh,
because that's going to be that's a good answer, and it's a good question. Bill has a good question for you when we come back. How about that?
Okay,
We'll queue up Bill. Yeah. Oh, you are listening to We the People, and you can find all of this fun information that will probably light your hair on fire just a teeny bit, but it's at wethepeopleradio.us.
Energy! Sometimes I think I'm running out of energy. Seems like we use an awful lot for heating and lighting and driving, reading and writing and driving. Energy! You think we'd be saving it up?
When you're in the dark and you want to see, you need a
electricity, electricity.
Flip that switch and what do you get? You get a
electricity, electricity.
Every room can now be lit with just a
electricity, electricity.
Where do you think it all comes from? This powerful
electricity.
That commercial break brought to you by Schoolhouse Rock.
Everything we needed to know we could find from a song from Schoolhouse Rock. Oh, my God. Bring them back. We need them. All right, Bill, wait. What was your question again?
Oh, I was curious, Ron, if you knew much about the fusion research that's going on and how far away are we on developing fusion for actual use?
Fusion is in the works. It's probably decades away, but more currently, nuclear is the thing that's really going on, because we got, you know, the old nuclear reactors didn't really use much of the fuel, and so now we have slightly used nuclear fuel, but the newer technology of nuclear generators has taken that slightly used nuclear fuel and extracting it and using it to get, like, you know, 80 more years of use out of it.
Oh, okay.
And so we're looking at continuous technological improvements. Nuclear generation is improving, like you say, making better use of the fuel, and the SMRs, small modular reactors. South Africa and China are making great progress on smaller reactors that can, you know, sit them down like a portable generator. You can put it down and, you know, you might feed a community of, you know, a million people.
Right.
So the SMRs are also making progress. But that's we got to really focus on, conservation and efficiency. And
right.
I think the use of nuclear, as I mentioned, there's like 80 nuclear power plants under construction around the world, and they're going to be using better technology to use the fuel that they get. And the best thing about nuclear is that it takes the least amount of land, the least amount of Earth's resources, because, you know, the Earth's going to run out of oil at some time. You know, 50 years, 500 years, 5,000 years. But one thing for sure, this 4.5 billion year planet's going to be here with or without humans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, true.
So we want to basically extend the life of the resources that the Earth has. And if we can generate electricity and have almost unlimited electricity with nuclear, utilizing the least amount of Earth's resources, that'd be fantastic for, you know, the 8 billion people living on the planet.
Well, what's the prognosis to put, like, these small nuclear generators, like they run on a ship? Why couldn't you take one of those systems and park it, like, in a small town? Run the whole town for.
See, now you're bringing a logical question into this conversation.
Oh yeah.
remember the labyrinth. There's nothing in there but sadness and despair.
They run these ships for, you could be out at sea for years on the fuel they have on board. Why couldn't they do it locally?
Well, exactly. Like you say, all the submarines, all the nuclear. I mean, the aircraft carriers, they're nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, they can do it, but we can't.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's a lot of questions that have to be raised during these debates. And I'm really hoping that a lot of these subjects come up during the debates, because that's the only thing, you know, you're going to get a lot of people listening to the debates, and hopefully they'll be listening to some of the solutions, the challenges, or the problems, and just got to get more attention. Got to get more conversations going.
Yeah, I think there are solutions. They just need a plan. They need to put them into use.
Exactly. And the situation with America, we're not asking the questions. Mm-hmm. And if you don't ask the questions, you know, there's no silver bullet answer. I mean, it's going to take a lot of everything to make the world work, and make it work efficiently and economically attractive and environmentally attractive. So it's, there's the simple solution. Well, wind and solar is going to replace fossil fuels. No. It can't happen.
No, it won't.
Yeah, you've got you have a never-ending supply of people to educate on that front, so...
I focus on energy literacy, and I'm trying to just keep developing questions to stimulate the conversations. You got to start in schools, and if they're energy literate, hopefully they won't be oblivious to the realities that our current policymakers are pursuing, because they're implementing policies that make no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no forward thinking going on here at all. And it's funny, because I think the common person out there can look at this situation we're in and come up with some pretty good ideas on how we can fix it. But our leadership can't come up with any ideas on how to fix it other than cut.
Well, and people keep electing them, so...
Yeah, and that's...
Well, one of the things you mentioned, the book that I wrote, The Clean Energy Exploitations, that's something that should be part of the conversation, because, the materials to build those EV batteries is lithium and cobalt. Well, lithium and cobalt is 100% controlled by China and Africa. And they've got no labor laws. They've got no environmental laws. They're exploiting people who have yellow, brown, and black skin to mine for this material. And the environmental degradation on their land is atrocious, but it's okay. We in the wealthy countries, we're going green. Well, I think it's unethical and immoral to support China and Africa to continue exploiting their people. But Newsom just implemented a $3,500 rebate to encourage you to buy an EV. Well, if you're doing that, you're basically financially providing incentives for China and Africa. Continue exploiting your people who have yellow, brown, and black skin. Mm-hmm. Continue environmental degradation on your land. California's going green.
Yeah.
It's unethical and immoral.
Yeah, totally.
But he doesn't look at that supply chain.
Yeah. The whole electric vehicle thing just blows my mind. I mean, I know there's a lot of them on the road, and right now we can support those. You can pull up to a charging station and get your book out and sit there for 2 hours and charge your car and drive off happy. But we don't have enough. There's not enough electricity being generated for everybody to drive an electric car, and they don't have a plan to change that.
Yeah, one of the things that we really, and the future I see, is two things. One is developing battery technology, just like the phones. The portable phones, if you remember, a couple decades ago, it weighed about a pound, hold it up to your ear.
Oh, yeah.
Now you've got the iPhone. The battery technology is advancing. If we can improve battery technology and eliminate the lithium and the cobalt and have a better battery and develop a lot of nuclear, then you have unlimited electricity, and you're not using Earth's resources to make it. You're not exploiting any people, to make the electricity. So if we can develop battery technology so it's easier to charge, and we have, quote-unquote, free unlimited electricity from nuclear, that would be a real, real good solution.
Yeah, that would work. But when was the last time you heard anybody talking about that?
There is efforts made right now to come up with alternative batteries, and that's a continuous operation.
Yeah.
And so it's I know it'll probably take a couple of decades to make it happen, but we'll have better batteries. And you know, we got them right now on the iPhones, and they charge almost instantaneously. And same thing. I don't know if we'll ever get to the point of having an electric 747 flying into Europe. But
oh, God. Yeah, that's one of those.
If you run out of electricity, gravity wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gravity always wins.
Yeah, we learned that at the fair, right? The Gravitron. It's a new ride. They let you sit down now, and then they really get you off the ground. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Yeah, I want
to
ride.
But I encourage people to ask these, intelligent, logical questions to politicians. Ask them, because they're the ones who are going to be holding the microphone. They're going to be the ones setting the trend and the direction of all the policies. And if they have no clue, we're in trouble. So you want to find out if they have any energy literacy, any understanding. If they don't, their policies will be disastrous.
Sure.
I don't know really. What do you, spitballing, but if we do not have a change of regime in California with Steve Hilton, we won't see a change in any of this policy either.
I think you're right.
There's no way Javier Becerra, the corruptocrat who upended HHS at the federal level, I think people have kind of forgotten about all the stuff he did there. He rolls in, California Air Resources Board is still going to be running the tables, and I don't know.
I had a chance to meet and talk to Steve Hilton a couple weeks ago, and went over a lot of these quote, logical questions, and I'm continually providing him what I call ammunition to bring up during these debates, because even if he gets elected, he's going to have a problem because he's going to have Democrats, that are setting the policies that he'll be overseeing, and it's going to be an uphill battle. But the main thing is, how are you going to keep these refineries operating to keep the economy running?
Right.
And right now, that's the opposite direction of the current Democratic policies. They want to get rid of the refineries.
Yeah, and there's really no active plan to replace it. That's the scary part. And so the disaster is rolling our way unless they get on the bandwagon and come up with some alternatives. They're going to have to put those refineries back online.
Right. And right after the presidents of those six refineries sent their letters to Newsom talking about, got to stop this overregulation. Right after they sent the letters, the California Air Research Board increased the regulations.
Yeah.
So the clock is ticking.
Sure.
It's really a matter of, which one's going to make that announcement that they're leaving. And once they do, that's they're reporting to their shareholders. And if it's too costly to manufacture products in California, they'll go somewhere else.
Well, sure. And they're going to have to come up with a solution that spans decades, because if they're going to make the investment to reopen refineries in the billions of dollars, it's going to take time to recoup that, and they're not going to come back in when the administration changes and then they change all the rules again. They're going to have to come up with some kind of a plan that protects them from that, and I don't think that's in the works.
Yeah.
Another point where California is going in the opposite direction is the United States by itself is a net oil exporter.
Mm-hmm.
California, because we're sitting on one of the largest oil reserves in the world, but because of our anti-oil drilling effort, the oil drilling is pretty much in a terminal decline. So consequently, all the refineries in California, we import about 70% of their oil needs from foreign countries.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Well, the United States is a net exporter, but we've got no way to get that oil because you can't get it over the Sierra Mountains.
Right.
Of course. Well, so run
through the Suez Canal.
We have to we have to run away. Can you imagine that? We burned an hour. But we did find a fun song about a jet airliner we could play for you. On our way out to mull it over, please get some energy literacy. Hit our site, and you can read all of Ron Stein's great information and articles at wethepeopleradio.us.